Right after worship service this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the our annual Easter egg hunt. And so we'll meet right down here right after the service for just a few minutes to talk a little bit about that and all the people we need to be a part of that. And then also next Saturday morning at 6:30, we have our men's breakfast and Bible study. So I've kind of given up on the idea of having guys sign up. It's hard enough to get anybody to sign up, but guys, it's almost impossible. There's a sign-up sheet. I think we got 3 people so far. I'm assuming we're going to have way more than that. I think we had almost 20 last month. So guys, come and join us. You don't have to have been to the others. We'll get you caught up with the outline and all that stuff, and it's been a great opportunity. We've got some guys coming from St. Charles, and so encourage you to come and be a part of that. Today, we're going to talk about the last things, and this is the last message on a series about what we believe and what the Bible teaches, so it's fitting that the last day would be about the last things. And so I think before we get into that, I think we need to pray, because this is a very interesting, controversial, debated, and argued, difficult subject, and so probably a good idea to pray. So let's do that. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we have just to be here, and God, to appreciate the life that you have given to us. Lord, we're reminded of how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. And we're reminded also that tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. And so with the recent deaths of Drew and Jared and others, God, we're reminded that, yeah, today is a good day. And Lord, we are also reminded that one day time on earth will end, and Jesus will come back and take his people home. And so as we look at that this morning, I pray that we would look at it the way Jesus wanted us to understand it and teach it. And Father, so we open up our hearts and we open up our minds to this very interesting subject. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just teach us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The way I'm going to present this today is probably a way that I wouldn't have done it 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. When I was in seminary, talking about the end times, when Jesus comes back was a huge topic, and we used to argue over that around the coffee shop and all of that. And so this morning, some of you are going to go away frustrated and said, I still don't know when Jesus is coming back, okay? But as I said, I want us to look at this the way Jesus looked at it. And it's radically different than a lot of people today. We've been talking about things about from this little booklet called The Baptist Faith and Message, and we've looked at some of those. And this one, I think, is important for us to look at because, again, it's a broad statement that can fit a lot of people in it. Because, like I said, this is one of the most debated, controversial, argued over things about, okay, so how is this all going to work? How are all the last things going to fit together? And so here's the statement that's in this little booklet. It says, and listen to this, God, in his own time and in his own way, will bring the world to the complete or appropriate end. According to his promise, Jesus Christ will return personally and visibly in the glory to the earth. And the dead will be raised, and Christ will judge all men in righteousness. And the unrighteous will be consigned to hell, the place of eternal punishment. And the righteous, in their resurrection and glorified body, will receive their reward and will dwell forever in heaven with the Lord. Interesting. So it leaves a whole wide gamut of when and how and all of this. What I want to do, and this is going to be a little bit different, and I just want to read this to you because these are the words of Jesus. I'm not going to comment on them. I'm going to share what Jesus shared with his disciples. And this is in the 13th chapter of Mark, and it may be easier for you to just listen than try to follow along. Okay? Mark chapter 13 says, "And as he," obviously Jesus, "was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, look, what massive stones and what impressive building.'" He's talking about the awesome temple. "And Jesus said to them, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down.'" So Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, which happened. Jesus talked about that. It was around 30 AD, 40 years later, it happened. But here's where this passage gets really dicey, okay? Because Jesus is not just talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He's talking about his return. And where it gets complicated is where these things dovetail together. And Jesus probably left his disciples wondering, duh, we still don't know when, right? So, verse 3. "While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?'" Two things. When is it going to happen and what are the signs? And so here's what Jesus said. "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and they will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must take place, but it is not yet the end. For nations will rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines, and these are the beginning of birth pains." These are the beginnings. "But you, be on your guard. They will hand you over to the local courts. You will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governments and kings because of me as a witness of them." And that's what happened in Acts. "And it is necessary that the gospel be preached to all nations, so that when they arrest you and hand you over," don't worry beforehand what you should say, "but say whatever is given to you at that time. For it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brothers will betray brothers to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. They will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination of desolation, the standing where it should not be, let the readers understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down or go to get anything out of his house. And a man in the field must not go and pack his coat. Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Pray it won't happen in winter. For those will be days of tribulation, the kind that has not been seen from the beginning of creation until now and never will be again. If the Lord has not cut short these days, no one would be saved. But he cuts these days short for the sake of the elect whom he's chosen. Then if anyone says, 'See, here is the Messiah,' see here, do not believe it. For the false messiahs and false prophets and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And you must watch. I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shine in light, the stars will be falling from the skies, and the power in heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the ends of heaven. Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know that the summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize that he's near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. One thing I want to say here, this generation, people in Jesus' day thought that in their time, Jesus would come back. You'd say, well, he didn't. So was he wrong? No. I think the generation he's talking about is this generation after the resurrection of Christ. Okay? Somehow we've got to look at this and say whatever Jesus said was absolutely true. But now listen to this part, verse 32. Now concerning that day or hour, no one knows. Got that? Concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch and be alert, for you do not know when the time is coming. It is like a man on a journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants, gave each one its work, and commanded the doorkeeper to be alert. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether it's in the evening or midnight or at the crowing of the rooster or early in the morning. Otherwise, when he comes suddenly, he might find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. Wow. Says a whole lot. There's three things that I think that we need to come out of that passage. One is that we need to wait. Okay? And we've been waiting a long time, 2,000 years. The other thing is we need to watch, look for the signs, look for those things, and realize that what Jesus is describing is the beginning of that. But the important part is the work. Okay? Work. Each one has his own work. Okay? Now, for some reason my slides are not changing, so who's ever up there, you can change it to the next slide. Okay? Here's what I want us to look at, because for the last 2,000 years, people have been asking when, right? So here's Jesus after his resurrection, before his ascension, in the first chapter of Acts, dealing with this once again with his disciples. And this is what's important to me more than anything else, okay? So you may go away and say, I still don't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, right? But here's the important thing. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and when he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait, which all of us love to do, right? Wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit in a few days. And so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? They're still asking that question. We're still asking that question. Are you going to restore the kingdom? Here's what Jesus said. It's not for you to know the time or the period that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, do you get what Jesus said? People are asking, so when is it that you're going to set up your kingdom? Jesus never says, but what he does say is go to work. Be my witnesses. Like I said, I remember those seminary days when we hashed over all this stuff and tried to figure it out and argued over whether it was going to be before the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation. And Jesus says to us, nobody knows. It's not for you to know the time. It's for you to go to work. And I know this for a fact. We're one day closer than we were yesterday, right? And it wouldn't surprise me at any time we're going to hear this trumpet sound. And I start thinking about this, and we're going to get it to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to talk about what this is going to be like. Because this we know. We may not know when, but we know that this is going to take place. Okay? And so we're going to look at that. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're actually going to begin in verse 13, but I want to introduce what we're going to do next week. Next week, we're going to do a series on family. like I've never done it before. And it's going to be, we're going to talk about a one another family, okay? Throughout the scripture, there are numerous passages that say one another. And next week, we're going to talk about love one another. And spend till June talking about how do we do that? How do we love one another? As a family, I mean, your little family, but how do we do that as a church? How do we do that as believers, okay? The interesting thing about that, as I looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, about brotherly love. You don't need me to write to you because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. I don't know how many times in Scripture, we're going to look at it next week, how Peter says, John says, Jesus says, James says, Hebrews says, love one another. Okay? Second commandment, right? Second great commandment. We ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Paul is talking about this, loving one another. You need to love one another. And then he gets to verse 13. So many times we use this at funerals and we don't have time to flesh out what Paul is saying. Some of the people at Thessalonica thought the rapture had already been taken place, and some people today believe that it already has taken place, but I'm not sure where they get that. But verse 13, we don't want you to be uninformed. Some translations get it even, we don't want you to be ignorant. We don't want you to be dumb about this, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the archangel's voice and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, be encouraged. Encourage one another with these words. So let's go and talk about this. Like I said, when, it's hard to know, okay? When is hard to know. But Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to talk about the return of the Lord, okay? That's the first thing. In verses 13 through 16, Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Some thought that the rapture had already taken place, but Christ is going to return. That we know for sure. No one knows when, but he will. Now, one of the things that's sometimes confusing here is this idea of being asleep, right? And so, I don't know, somebody decided that when people die, there's this soul, their soul just goes to sleep, and they're asleep for how many years until Jesus comes back. You can't get that from this verse, folks. Jesus talked about this before. And he said, you know, several times when people had died, he said, they have gone asleep, they have fallen asleep, and I'm going to go wake them up. For Jesus, this was like he knew what was going to happen, he was going to wake them up, but the soul doesn't go to sleep for all this time. Remember the thief on the cross and what Jesus said to the one who believed? Today, not someday, but today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, here's the thing that's hard for us to understand, is that when we die, that body gets left behind, and that spirit, for those who believe and trust in Christ, that spirit now goes to the Lord. I had this conversation just recently with somebody. They were asking, well, I'd heard about this soul sleeping thing, and I said, okay, let me explain it to you the way I understand it. Our soul doesn't go to sleep. As soon as we die, that spirit, that soul, whatever you want to call it, goes to be with the Lord. Okay? And then we'll talk about the rapture, we talk about how all of those things are being brought back. But Jesus is going to come back, right? He is going to come back. And he's going to come back in a way that surprises all of us, all right? So Jesus says to the thief, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, when Paul starts off, and this is really important, and this is so key. He said, so, we know about those who have died, but we also realize that we are not to grieve like the rest who have no hope. Now, he doesn't say we shouldn't grieve as believers and followers of Christ, because we're going to. In fact, I would say to you that believers have a love for their family that maybe other people don't have. And why? Because the Spirit of God is in us and the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so we are tied and attached and we have these relationships. And so when a family member dies, we're going to grieve. When a friend dies, we're going to grieve. But not as those without hope. I've lost track of how many funerals I've done over the years. But one of the saddest things you'll ever see is people who have no hope at a time when they're hurting the worst. Right? Okay? And so Paul said, guys, we who are believers in Christ, we who believe that Jesus died and rose again, we've got this hope. In fact, on Easter Sunday, which is coming up, the message is going to be on the living hope from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This living hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And so that's what Paul is trying to tell the people at Thessalonica. Okay, guys, you're going to grieve. And there are people that are dying now before Jesus came back, and they're not sure what's happening, how this is all going to work. Because they were thinking that Jesus would come back before any of them would die. Right? Okay. So, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, and we do, right? So in the same way, we will experience a resurrection as well. Through Christ, God is going to provide that. He's going to bring with him those that have fallen asleep, those who have died. Okay? God is going to work all this out. In verse 15, Paul says, this is not my idea. This is not my theory. This is a word that comes from the Lord himself. We who are still alive at the coming of Christ will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, what he's saying in that is that those of us who are alive, and there may be some of us alive here when Christ comes. Who knows? The trumpet may sound any moment, all right? And those who are still alive are not going to proceed in this thing called the rapture, those that are already dead. Listen to what he says. For Christ himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And man, when you hear that shout, it's going to be amazing. And then there's going to be an archangel's voice, and there's going to be the trumpet of God. When I think about this, I thought about that this week. I thought, boy, I hope I'm there. I hope I'm alive when that happens, because that's going to be one cool deal. You're going to hear Jesus shout, you're going to hear an archangel's voice, and you're going to hear this trumpet. Now, this is not from the Lord, this is just me. I think that is going to be such an awesome time that Jesus is going to have to immediately give us a resurrected, glorified body, or we're all going to drop dead. I mean, this is going to be like the most exciting thing that you've ever heard or seen, right? So, to be a part of the rapture, and here's the thing, some people think, well, I'm going to miss out on this. The dead are going to miss out on it. No, Paul said, they're going to go first. They're going to rise first. And then the people who are alive said, well, man, I don't want to miss out on that. We're not. Okay, he's going to come back and it's all going to fit together. This is a word from the Lord. Now, verse 16. For the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is the beginning of the resurrection. Let me just say something about this, because this is sometimes hard for people to understand. And this is where the real miracle comes in. Okay, years ago, when I first started out in ministry, there was a thing among Christians that they had this idea that you shouldn't cremate a body, because if you cremated a body, it's not going to come back to life. I mean, that was serious, you know? It sort of died over the years. Now, think about this for a moment. If somebody has been buried for 2,000 years, it's kind of a gross thought, but for 2,000 years, and that body is going to rise and unite with the spirit, do you think God could bring a bunch of ashes together? Or do you think God, those that have been buried at sea, some people say, well, you shouldn't be buried at sea because of resurrection. You can't be resurrected. Oh my gosh. This is going to be such a miracle. God is going to, if you scatter your ashes all over the world, somehow they're going to come together. Because that body that you had is now going to come back together and unite with the spirit, okay? Unite with your soul. And here's the cool thing. It's not going to be the body you have right now. I thought about this morning. When I get this resurrected, glorified God body, I'm going to be able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. I may be able to fly. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea. It's going to be like Jesus' body after His resurrection. He just appeared. He was like, you know, some of you old folks can remember the old Superman, where Superman could just go right through walls. That's what Jesus did. He just appeared, and people said, where did He come from? And I'm thinking, we're going to have the same kind of body He has. That gets me pretty excited. Because it's not going to have any of the illnesses we have right now. There's going to be no more death. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more disease. The only thing I don't know is if we come back with a 18-year-old body or a 65-year-old body, it doesn't really matter, because it's going to be absolutely perfect. It's going to be awesome. Okay? And so, Jesus is bringing that body, wherever it was, in this miraculous thing, and unite with this spirit that never died, this soul that never was asleep, and they're going to come together. Okay? Verse 17. Then we who are still alive, and so Paul is writing this as like he's going to be one of them still alive. So we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. This is kind of this awesome reunion, right? Okay, I remember back in the day, you know, a bunch of us guys, bunch of us preachers would, you know, rather than say goodbye, we'd see you here or there or in the air. Here or there or in the air. One of these days, now think about this for a moment. I don't know, that there's this resurrection thing, this rapture thing is going to be an amazing thing, and I'm not sure how it's going to work, but it's going to be awesome to be together, this reunion with Jesus and with those who've died before us, who are believers in Christ. And we're all going to be together with this awesome reunion, and we're going to get to see Jesus face to face. Boy, that's going to be pretty awesome. That's going to be pretty awesome. A reunion like none other, and a reunion that's going to last forever. Now, I don't know if any of you have family reunions. We have some. Some of them we've been to. Can't wait till they get over, right? Because, you know, I've got some weird cousins, you know. And you know, they probably think I'm weird too, but this is a reunion that's going to last forever, and we're going to be together, and I can't even begin to imagine how long forever is. You know, we're going to be able to do things that we were never able to do with a new heaven and a new earth, and man, and there's no time limit. You know, it's kind of like it's going on the best vacation ever. But you don't have to go back to work. You don't have to go back to school. There won't be any schools in heaven. I'm pretty sure of that. It's just going to be awesome. This whole thing. so we will always be with the Lord, and we will be with the Lord forever. Now, the last thing that Paul says in this, therefore, verse 18, this is the encouragement and the reassurance that we have. He starts out with, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant so that you grieve without hope, right? But then he says, verse 18, therefore, encourage one another with these words. These ought to be words of encouragement. I thought about that something else this week. I remember when I first met a guy who I call my pastor, Marvin Stevens, was talking about Jesus coming back. And I remember before I was a Christian, that thought scared me to death. In fact, I thought, man, I'm just getting my life going, you know? Just bought a farm. Just got a baby girl, you know? And Jesus coming back is going to mess all that up, right? That's what I thought. And I thought that until I became a believer, and then things changed because God had called me to preach, and I kept thinking, you know what? I really didn't want to go to school because I'm not a good student. And so I thought, Jesus is going to come back, and I'm just going to go to work because I don't have time to go to school. Because Jesus is going to come back. There's no way I'm going to finish college and seminary before Jesus comes back, and he had another plan. And I had a wise pastor say, Mike, you need to be ready as if it will be today, and you need to prepare as if it won't be in your lifetime. As good advice. And I kept thinking all the way through seminary, God has got a sense of humor. Have you noticed that? And I kept thinking, as soon as I take that last final, Jesus is going to come back. Right? I went to all these tests and wrote all these stupid papers, and then Jesus come back. That was a long time ago, folks. He still hasn't come back. Right? So, I want to close with a couple things. The first from Peter, and this is what we're going to talk about on Easter, which is coming up, all right? Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, listen to this, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfeigned, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through the faith of a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you will suffer grief in various trials. So that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then down in verse 13 it says, and therefore, with your minds ready for action. What he's saying is, get ready for action. Get ready for the work. Be sober-minded. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the return of Jesus Christ, when we see Him face to face. One last therefore. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the longest chapters in the New Testament, Paul lays out this whole thing about the resurrection and how awesome it is. And at the very end, he gets to this verse. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What Peter is saying, what Paul is saying, is the same thing that Jesus said. We don't know. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but we do know Jesus is coming back. And so we need to wait, we need to watch, and we need to get to work. Because one of these days, we're going to hear this loud voice from our Lord and Savior. We're going to hear the voice of an archangel, and we're going to hear the trumpet of God. And time on this earth will be no more. I don't know how that sets with you. You may be like I was in the beginning. That's pretty scary. And part of it, the scary part is, I'm not sure that I'm ready. And Jesus said, we need to make sure that we're ready. And how do we get ready for that? Well, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That He died on the cross for our sins, and that He rose again on the third day. And we believe that we also will be raised. It's a very simple thing. Not easy, it's very simple. We just need to call upon the name of the Lord, either through a prayer or desperation, and just say to God, I believe. Say to Jesus, I want You to be my Savior and I want You to be my Lord. If you've not settled that in your own heart, in your own mind, I'd encourage you to do it today. You can do it anywhere, anytime, but you need to do it. And once you make that decision and once you make that choice, you need to share it with somebody to let them know. Because if you're not willing to share it, more than likely it has not taken place in your life. Because you get so excited, you got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. This is a choice. This is a decision that I made. And so this morning, I'd encourage you, if you've not made that choice and not made that decision, that you do so today. Because we're one day closer. And I still will be surprised if Jesus doesn't come back in my lifetime. That's what the disciples were taught to believe. And I know some said, well, but it didn't happen. And no, it didn't happen, but they were ready. They were ready. And they were busy at the work. And that's what we need to do. I remember back in the day, people were doing all kinds of weird stuff. And I remember there's one guy, there's several guys that are predicted when Jesus was going to come back. The last big prediction was 2000, right? Jesus is going to come back in the year 2000. And we know it, and it's going to, and some of them were down to the hour, you know. It's going to be midnight when we go into this, you know, 2000, right, thing, and, you know, all of that. And they had it all figured out, and they had all of the facts and figures and whatever. If somebody tells you that they got the time, you know it's not going to be that time, right? It's kind of like the doctor that says this is a due date. And not only the due date, but it's going to be at 6 o'clock in the evening. He's probably crazy. But anyway. So I remember in those early days some nutcases in Arkansas that went out. There was four or five families. They sold their houses. They quit their jobs. They got everything ready. They hung out in a cave just waiting for the trumpet to sound. They may still be there. And that was 40 years ago, right? And there's always these people. And this is why Jesus said what He said. That's why Paul said what he said. So that we will be ready, but that we stay in the work. That we stay as witnesses for Christ. Because that's really what it's all about. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I just pray this morning, if anyone's here that not sure where they're going to spend eternity, God, just may Your Holy Spirit just come and minister gently, encouraging, loving, to let them know that You want them to spend eternity in heaven with You. Lord, get them to the place where they believe what Jesus said was true. What Paul said was true. What John and Peter and James said is true. That one of these days, Jesus is going to return. And we better be ready. We had better be prepared for that time. We better have put our faith and trust in Him so that we're not left behind, so that we don't spend eternity away from Jesus in a place called hell. And so, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would continue to work and continue to convict and continue to draw people unto Your Son. And Father, we thank You for this blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus, this living hope. Lord, I pray that one day, in not too distant future, we hear the voice of our Lord, and we see that we hear the trumpet of God, and that we are a part of this thing called the rapture. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Reminder, if you want to come and help with the